All right. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show with your host, Matt, here for another week, live on CITR 101.9 FM, a wonderful, wonderful radio station here, which broadcasts a lot of great independent culture and alternative news. Thanks to the news team for the show just before mine. After me, in an hour and a half's time, is African Rhythms with David. Thanks, David, for putting on a great record show day at Vinyl Records. David's the proprietor of Vinyl Records. It was such a great day in the city. It's amazing how many vinyl retailers are going and going strong. I think it's really healthy. I mean, in this age of downloading and fragmentation of music, there's still a cohort of people who are dedicated to their music and are willing to support local businesses like vinyl record shops. So that was a great day last Saturday. I picked up some music from Scratch Records as well. Vinyl and Scratch I visited, and a whole bunch of stuff from Scratch that I'll play over the next few weeks. So this is Stranded. Don't forget, you can find links to any of the previous shows on the blog. Go to Google and type in OZSTRANDED, and you'll find lots of downloadable podcasts for you to enjoy. You're with Eamon McGrath. That's going to be coming up later on. He is a Toronto singer-songwriter, one of the best in the country, in my opinion. He's only 23 years old, incredibly prolific. He's put out three albums proper, but he's actually written about 250 songs. He's got a lot of basement recordings from his hometown of Edmonton, where he grew up. I spoke with him when he was in Edmonton this week as part of his Young Canadians tour. And he's playing in Vancouver very soon. I'll tell you all about the gig later on. But I've recorded a great interview, so definitely have a listen to that later on in the show. Also coming up is music by the Jezebels, who are an Australian band playing in Vancouver this week on May 1st. So lots ahead. First of all, though, I do want to pay my respects to Todd Simcoe. Anyone from Vancouver who's been part of the music world here for a while would be very familiar with Todd's name. He was a long-standing producer here in the city and very well regarded. He was always a guitarist, a very good guitarist, and he originally made a name for himself with the 90s and later also with a band called Biff Naked. So Pure actually had quite a bit of success in the early 90s scene when alternative music was really hitting its stride. And the band, I chatted with Todd. I met him and sort of established a bit of a friendship with him at one point. And he told me a little bit about his adventures in Australia. He was able to tour down there in the 90s, and he had very fond memories. So the band Pure had a lot of success, I'm paying respect because he passed away just this week, very suddenly. I got the news just as I woke up the other day on Facebook and was completely upset by it. It came from nowhere. Apparently, now the cause of death has been noted as drowning, but a very little detail apart from that. So it caught a lot of people by surprise. There's a very large stream of tributes on Todd's Facebook page. So I just wanted to pay tribute to him from his band Pure, so people can remember him. And a couple of tracks from bands that Todd produced or mastered too. I'm going to play you Pure first up, and then a couple of acts that you might be familiar with that I've played on this show in the past. So here's Pure. I'm going to play you tracks, a couple of popular tracks from them. First up is Blast from their album Puro Finalia. And then I'm going to play you a track off an EP of theirs called Extra Purestrial, a track called Lemonade. So this is a little tribute to Todd Simcoe, Vancouver record producer, who tragically just passed away this week. So here's some Pure for you.
Your office of politics, a special bag of dirty tricks. Spend more time on your guard.
And we're back on CITR 101.9 FM and Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. I'm your host, Matt. And this is, I'm starting the show with a tribute. I'm paying respect to Todd Simcoe on a solemn time. Todd passed away very unexpectedly this week. He is a Vancouver music producer and friend to many and inspiration. And he tragically died from a drowning incident just this week. So I just wanted to say, give my regards to Todd's family. And we just featured a couple of tracks that Todd played on. He was the guitarist from the band Pure, which had quite a bit of success in the Canadian music world in the 90s. And Todd actually went on to have a very successful producing career here in the city. So touched a lot of hearts and promoted a lot of great culture. And I got to know Todd myself. I managed a band for a short while last year called Root System, which I've featured on the show here. And I had a chance to hang out with Todd in the studio, and he was really, really forthcoming and helpful with helping me organize a tour for a bit for the band. And he was really encouraging. He thought they were a really great sound. He enjoyed recording them and making friends with Chris, the singer, especially. Yeah, I was really struck by how willing Todd was to guide me and the band into getting them heard here in the city and in the Lower Mainland. So I'm talking about Todd Simcoe, who tragically passed away, and I'm going to play your band a song by Root System there, and also an act called Vancouver Knights, the wonderful Sarah Lapsley. She's a contributor here to the station. She's on the Arts Report. You'll hear her voice occasionally. And she is a musician, and she had a great project called Vancouver Knights. And Todd mastered her album. So Sarah, I'm sure, too, has a lot of wonderful things to say about Todd and his character. So I thought I'd play for you a track called Two Spirited by Vancouver Knights, Sarah Lapsley's project. And then I'm Hope You're Smiling by Root System, because I think it's a touching song, and I'm sure Todd is smiling somewhere, wherever he is, and thankful for the life that he led and the effect that he had on people here in Vancouver and around the world. So first up, let's play Vancouver Knights. This is the song called Two Spirited. Todd Simcoe mastered this album. And then Root System with I'm Happy Smiling.
Yeah. I can see your face, even though you're miles away. You're the reason I'm alive. Thank you for teaching me how to survive, and I'll be smiling when everything is going your way. So I'll be smiling. Your kind words went straight to my heart. Thank you for believing in me. With every magazine and every cup of tea you poured, you know, you mean so much to me. And I will be smiling, and I will be smiling, and everything, and I will be smiling. Sister, it seems that life isn't as easy as we thought it would be. Well, with every wave of doubt you ride, just remember my heart is full of so much pride. I'll be smiling, and I will be smiling, and everything is going.
Artists in Our Midst welcomes their 20th anniversary by inviting the public to join them for two popular art events this spring. Event 1 is a free Roundhouse exhibit and birthday party on May 16th. One day only at the Roundhouse Community Center at 181 Roundhouse Mews in Yaletown. There will be an artist reception from 7 to 10 p.m. and don't miss out on the birthday cake bash at 8. Following up the birthday bash, there will be a free open studios walk on May 19th through the 21st. Studios will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and to see participating artists and a map, visit the website at artistsinourmidst.com.
So Root System there with the song I Hope You're Smiling, and before that was Vancouver Knights with the song called Two Spirited. And those are two acts that Todd Sinco had a hand in producing and or mastering. And so before that, I played for you a couple of tracks from Pure, Todd Sinco's band. And of course, the reason for doing this is to respectfully pay tribute to Todd, because he passed away this week. And he was very much well-loved in the Vancouver music community, and was very sad to hear of his passing just this week.
Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Pointy Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And there's an Australian band coming through town. If you're listening in Vancouver, you can catch the Jezebels at a venue on the 1st of May. So the Jezebels are a bit of a hot and happening band at the moment. They're from Sydney in Australia. They've been around since 2007 and have really caught the listener's attention because of pretty strong songwriting. Very, very passionate, big sound from this, I believe they're a four-piece, featuring Hayley Mary, Heather Shannon, Nick Caliper, and Sam Lockwood. So it's kind of a, I guess, alternative indie rock with a bit of a disco kind of beat to it as well. So I'm going to play for you three tracks from the Jezebels to see what you think. They have a debut album out called Prisoner. So, yeah, have a listen. And if you like what you hear, you can catch them on May 1st at Venue here in Vancouver. This is a song called Tricolor, one of their singles. This is the Jezebels.
Smother it all, journey my soul over time. You seem like a some gold from the vine.
I wanna follow.
Scratch Records, CITR, and Discorder Magazine are proud to present the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party. With special guests, Shearing Pinks, and the Aaron Reed Band, it promises to be a night full of beer, booze, bands, and buds. For one night only, the Landmark 12-inch LP special release will be only $5. But last, and definitely not least, you won't want to miss the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party, Saturday, May 12th at the Interurban Gallery.
So this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show on CITR 101.9 FM, and my name's Matt. So that was the Jezebels you heard, and you can catch them, if you liked what you heard, you can catch them at Venue here in Vancouver on the 1st of May. So Australian music for you coming through town. Now, let's talk about Eamon McGrath. It's time for the feature on Eamon and the interview I recorded just this week. I chatted with Eamon. He was walking down White Avenue in Edmonton, his city of origin, Edmonton in Alberta. He's currently based in Toronto, and which, of course, is a, you know, it's a good move for a lot of people who want to step their career up. He does a lot of touring, and he's on his Canadian Young Canadians Tour. That's the name of his latest album. Now, Eamon is a very prolific musician. He has a lot of albums, like independently produced, that he recorded in his basement in his earlier years in Edmonton. Rumor has it he's got over 250 songs recorded, and he's only 23 years old, by the way, so there's a little context for you. And it's always great to chat with Eamon. I became friends with him in Edmonton when I first did this show up there, and he was very knowledgeable about music and even Australian music, and he'll talk a bit about a band that he's very fond of later in the interview. Let's start with some tracks from Eamon. Let's go back to his first major release, which it only came out a few years ago, called 13 Songs of Whiskey and Light on White Whale Records. So that was a 2009 release, 13 of the songs that he recorded in his basement in Edmonton. And I'm going to start out with my favorite. It's just a wonderful track called Big River. And a couple more tracks from that collection, and then we'll get started with the interview. It's a big one. He spoke a lot to talk about, yeah, you'll learn a lot. He's a punk rock purist at heart, a folk troubadour, very smart and passionate musician. This is Eamon McGrath. This is a song called Big River. We'll be right back.
These guys, they always had the hash. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and you can follow the show on Twitter, AusStranded. You can type that into Twitter, you'll find us. And the blog is go to Google and type in AusStranded, and there you'll get the podcast, set lists, and a video clip each week. So this is Eamon McGrath. You just heard three tracks from 13 Tales of Whiskey and Light, which was Eamon's debut on White Whale Records. And I chatted with him this week on the phone, and he was right there on White Avenue on Election Day in Alberta. So I asked Eamon all about what was going on there in that funny place called Alberta, Canada. So Eamon McGrath, so you're actually back in your hometown today, right? You just finished
right,
your
Yeah, I'm literally walking down White Avenue in Edmonton, which is kind of like the main kind of bar drag in the city. I just did an in-store performance at a place called Permanent Records, and I'm off to get a beer with an old friend and my mom right now.
Oh, fantastic. And so we're talking about Edmonton, Alberta, which is a city in the far north of the, well, I guess fairly northerly Alberta. And it's this interesting day as well because it's the election, right?
Yeah, so essentially there's been this kind of like, Alberta is historically an extremely conservative state. And I'll meet you guys in there, okay? It's historically a really conservative state. So there's been sort of this new party that's essentially going to win tonight. Everyone kind of predicts, and it's unfortunate because this political party is actually like even farther right than the party that's kind of had like the political dynasty here. Hmm. And it's known as being sort of one of the most right wing provinces in the country. And as of today, it's even going to get worse. So it's a bit of a dark day in Canadian politics and Albertan politics, but at this point in Canada, it's weird. It's a weird time because, you know, like we have the conservative government under, you know, the leadership of Stephen Harper. And, you know, the biggest city, Toronto, is currently under, is controlled by this absolute moron named Rob Ford, who's just a complete worthless bigot and, you know, a loudmouth. He's just a jerk. So he controls Toronto. Harper controls the country, and you know, Alberta, one of the wealthiest provinces because of the oil market, is going to be controlled by, you know, a farther right political party than has even historically been in power here. So it's a bit unfortunate. I mean, it's kind of weird because it's sort of like my record is kind of thematically, you know, and lyrically focused around kind of like, you know, being Canadian and about sort of having, you know, exploring kind of, you know, the idea of what is involved in having, you know, like Canadian values and about what defines you as a Canadian. You know, it's a complicated country. And it's so big, and there's, you know, a lot of culture. There's a, you know, wide variety of cultural differences between people. And for me, I mean, I'm kind of disgusted at the moment because it's like, I don't see, you know, the values that are kind of represented by our political leaders as being values that have been historically Canadian. You know, we've had a history of being kind of, you know, more of a socialist, you know, democratic socialist people, and you know, like looking out for each other and compassion and, you know, caring about the common good has been something that's sort of been a strong part of Canadian history. I mean, you know, like public health care and, you know, especially in comparison to our neighbors to the south, you know, yeah, being Canadian has sort of always involved this this kind of more socialist sort of perspective politically. And right now, we live in a very you know, contrarian time to that sort of a system. So it's a bit of a dark time politically. But I think that, you know, like the best punk rock's been made in the most right wing, you know, the most right wing regimes in North America. So I think, you know, hopefully my record kind of inspires some people to, you know, get out and vote for the guys on the left and stand up for what it is that's kind of always made us Canadian and what will continue to make us Canadian.
Absolutely. And just thinking about your roots there in Alberta, talking about, I mean, the undercurrent of wonderful independent culture, can you talk to some of your influences growing up? I could imagine bands like The Smalls and SNFU.
Absolutely, yeah. SNFU and The Smalls the last Smalls show was my first show, you know, and I mean, and Jesus, like Cor Blund from The Smalls is my, you know, he's my, he lives next door to my mom and dad now.
Oh.
You know, so The Smalls were a really important band. I mean, and it's, you know, likewise for SNFU, not just for Edmonton and Alberta, but also for Canadian music. I mean, they were responsible for kind of blazing a trail and establishing a network of, you know, like promoters and bands and artists across the country that enabled them to tour at a time when, you know, no one toured Canada, let alone independent punk bands. You know, and it's because of them that you know, bands are able to make whatever style of music, regardless of whatever style of music, bands are able to, you know, book their own tours across a country that's one of the biggest in the world. So for me, SNFU, you know, was a huge inspiration. I mean, musically, punk rock changed my life, you know, but also like from kind of a more of you know, like I guess a, you know, I don't want to call it professional standpoint, but kind of from like a more careerist or ideological perspective, they were instrumental in me figuring out kind of how to work the system of touring and doing it on my own and DIY and all that stuff I learned from them. You know, so they were Edmonton is a city that's, you know, 3-5 hours away from the next major touring market, right? So in each direction, I mean, in some ways, you know, to the west you've got it's 15 hours to Vancouver, you know, to the south it's 3 hours to Calgary, to the east you know, 5 hours to Saskatoon. So it's like there's not a lot of places to play in Canada in general. And that's sort of the story with every city. And I mean, it's a lot like Australia too, in that sense, where it's like, you know, there's this vast, you know, just empty land, open land, you know, like the prairies and the outback are kind of the same, I'm assuming, you know. I mean, I've never been to Australia.
Yeah,
but
definitely are, yeah.
I can see the similarities. And so, I mean, you know, touring before SNFU would have seemed just completely impossible. So they kind of are responsible for being sort of the motivating catalyst, and
yeah.
You know, not just Edmonton punk rock and Albertan punk rock, but also building a Canadian infrastructure for DIY. They were really critical in all that.
And perhaps now, I mean, your current jaunts across the country will inspire others because you're doing it. I look at the number of dates on your website and I'm going, wow, like he's going all this way, and it's inspiring.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that also, you know, in a time that's kind of dominated, you know, musically by a lot of dance music and, you know, I like that stuff and a lot of, you know, but I mean, it's not really where my art is, but it is dominated by, you know, like kind of like, you know, music that's kind of moved forward by something that's a little bit more stylistic instead of maybe, you know, like something, you know, sonic, I guess. Like, what I'm trying to say is that there's not a lot of kind of strictly songwriters.
Yeah.
You know, in the traditional sense of songwriting. And I think that that's kind of a little bit of a lost art. I mean, with like Pitchfork or something, like they don't really care about songs, to be honest.
Yeah.
It pisses me off a bit, but I think that it's also something that's sort of been absent from punk rock. Like, you know, there isn't really a Joe Strummer or a Nick Cave of today, like a songwriter with a punk rock ethic and a DIY approach to music. And, you know, I mean, hopefully all I want to do is make people understand that it is possible to take that approach to any style of music, regardless of how loud it is or how quiet it is. Or, I mean, you can be in a punk band, you know, like, you know, in the ideological sense and play soul music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So my musical mission has sort of been to, make it so that people can really have the guts and the willingness to sort of take that approach to whatever music that they're playing.
We'll be right back.
band. We're talking with Eben McGrath on Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. We just featured the first part of the interview, and that was followed by a couple of bands that were influences on Eben growing up in Alberta. You first heard SNFU. I played you a track from their 1995 album that came out on Epitaph. Track three was called Big Thumbs. So that's SNFU. And then The Smalls, featuring Corb Lunn, of course. And I played for you the first track off their album that came out. It was called Waste and Tragedy, also from 1995. So I just kind of hazard a guess that around that time, Eamon was probably really impressionable and really getting into punk rock. And those are two bands that Alberta produced and influenced Eamon, and particularly SNFU in regard to touring and showing that that's possible in this huge big country of Canada with its obvious challenges. So Eamon McGrath, great to chat with. He's playing at the Media Club here in Vancouver. He's supporting Legs. He's playing on Wednesday the 2nd of May. So let's get back into my interview. This is part two. We will continue to talk about, I guess, authenticity and integrity in music and songwriting. It sort of reminds me that there's a great Australian band called UMI, and the singer Tim Rogers, I saw interviewed recently, said, "We go out there and we play. We're not just trying to sell ourselves. We're selling rock and roll." And you feel that sense of history.
And their UMI writes songs. You know, The Drones is another band. Like, I always bring them up when I talk to you because they're one of my favorite bands. They continue to blow my mind. I mean, they are a punk band. They're a brutal punk band. They're a totally heavy, heavy rock and roll band, you know, that has quiet parts that, you know, have great songs and great lyrics. And there's a craft to what Garrett Lydiard does, you know. But it's very intense and urgent, and it's very similar to DOA or something, or SNFU, or The Birthday Party, you know, or something like that. And it's like, in its urgency and its volume and its attitude. But it might sound something closer to, say, like Neil Young. It's still incredibly, incredibly hardcore, you know. And Neil Young is hardcore. It's just like, you know, he might not play music that's, you know, as loud, or, well, actually, well, Neil Young is just as loud, or not louder than Black Flag, but I mean, like, the songs may not be as fast or as angry, but, you know, like, the quality to what makes them the same is there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, it's an intangible quality of essence, I suppose. Yeah,
exactly. There are characteristics between all that music that makes it, you know, like, similar. There's a soul to it, and there's an atmosphere to it, and there's a reason to what they're doing. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, see you Thursday. I mean, that's just what I think. I think that Nina Simone is punk rock too, you know, and like the Gun Club punk band, and they play soul blues music, and they play heavy stuff, and they're all pissed off, and they're not afraid to express themselves, you know. It's courageous music, and that's kind of what punk is.
I remember once I was doing the Australian government. I had this job where we had to do this sort of public speaking talk day, and I convinced the room that that Johnny Cash was punk, and I spoke for 10 minutes about Johnny Cash being punk to these straight faces who didn't quite understand what I was saying. But you know,
that's a method of thinking that's dominated by classification of records, you know, to market a product. I mean, punk rock is not a product, you know. You can't market it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a philosophy, and it's a way of living, and it's a perspective about the role of art in your life. It's not saving space on the shelf of a record store.
Yeah, that's just,
you know, that's the framework that those people think about music. And I mean, you need those people to make a living, you know. You need them, but I mean, you don't need them to make art. I mean, you can make a living through your art and through your music, but you know, you don't need that framework to actually create it. You need it. You do need it to sell it to somebody. But I mean, you know, I'm first and foremost interested in the creation of it. I mean, selling it is not my job.
Yeah,
you know, that's why you hire those people.
Yeah,
that's why you take, you know, like artists use, like, they use record companies. They need, you know, like they use them. They don't need them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just one of those eternal tensions that will always remain.
Each kind of exploits the other.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, but I mean, I don't lie on that side of the fence. I mean, I understand its purpose, and I mean, you know, I think there's a place for it, absolutely. You know, because you know, if you do want to make a living playing music, someone's got to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a ticket or a record, but I, you know, I mean, I'm someone that would be making music regardless of if that happened.
Yep.
You know, so people that can't see the true nature of someone like Johnny Cash or Bob Dylan or something, in the way that like they're actually closer to, you know, Husker Du or something like that than just a matter of the sound or the types of guitars they play. I mean, if you can't see beyond that, those are people that can't see the allegory in, you know, a work of literature or something too. It's the same sort of like narrow way of thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, their job isn't to think deep about things. Their job is to make money. So let them do what they need to do, and I'll do what I need to do. And I don't have to take on that role.
That's right.
I never will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
broken record by Canada's Ramones. I'd make it to the water, but I still won't be your father. The hours make you older, but I'm younger like a wolf. From sea to shining city, adulthood makes you cold. Inside the railroad, I'm lost without you, babe. Eternal adolescence, I'm calling out your name. Your arms are your guitars, rock and roll won't ever be the same. Rock and roll won't ever be the same. Rock and roll.
Terrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
You're on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcast from Vancouver, BC, and the UBC campus. This is Campus Community Radio, supporting independent culture. Up next is African Rhythms after the show, but we've still got a little bit to go. The final part of my interview with Eamon McGrath, Toronto-based Canadian singer-songwriter, and Edmonton native. He is on his Young Canadians tour. I just play for you a couple of tracks from his two most recent albums. First was from Peacemaker, a wonderful track called Cold Alberta Nights. And secondly, I played you the very first track of his brand new album, Young Canadians. The track is called Eternal Adolescence. I love the reference to the Ramones in the lyrics of that song. Definitely a punk purist at heart. You've been hearing that come through loud and clear in his interview here. Let's get into the final part where Eamon talks a little bit about the punk history of Vancouver. And then I asked him about what Europe's like to tour. Just as a little tangent, I was just thinking Young Canadians, just my own little exploration through Canadian musical history. There was a band from Vancouver called the Young Canadians, a first wave punk band, right? Were they?
That's true. Yeah, they. That's totally true.
Art Bergman Was that at all an inspiration for you as well, or the name of the record, or just kind of coincidental?
It is coincidental, but I mean, I definitely pay, I owe a lot of respect to that era of Vancouver punk. I mean, DOA, the Subhumans, they were, the Pointed Sticks or something, they were all bands that were sort of, in allegiance with each other, and especially Edmonton and Vancouver have always kind of had this sort of sister brother quality to it. And those bands were, DOA is also equally responsible for SNFU, and SNFU and DOA are kind of equally responsible for blazing that trail through Canada.
And even the US,
without those bands, you'd be nowhere.
Yeah, actually, a local punk musician here gave me a bit of a history lesson. He said that DOA was probably as significant as Black Flag for that era.
Well, DOA is credited with coining the term hardcore punk.
Wow.
I mean, they are the band that named it. The Hardcore 81 record was the record that that signaled the dawn of the 80s style of punk rock, removing it from that kind of 70s, the 77 kind of Clash, more of kind of a rock and roll influence. Like, DOA really did take it in the direction of kind of punk rock as we know it as, being today. Like, that,
right.
It's extremely, extremely emotional, extremely fast, extremely loud, Minor Threat and all those bands. I mean, a lot of that stuff has its roots in DOA.
We've spoken up till now all in the context of North America. I'm curious how you've been received in Europe, because you have toured there a little bit, and I mean, with all the aesthetic and the mindset you're talking about, I know Australian bands with the punk rock ethic that go to Europe are just treated like just so well because of their nature. Have you received similar treatment of just people really responding? And
yeah, I mean, Europe is a phenomenal place to tour as a musician. You get treated so well there. It's really kind of like an unrivaled. You're fed, you're put up. You get accommodations, you get paid well. The food is free, the booze is free if you're playing. And people buy the merch and they dance all night, and it's crazy. It's a musical paradise. Part of that is I always liken it to. The fact that in North America, I think there's a really simple explanation. It's like, see, music in Europe predates capitalism, it predates industrialism, and it predates the idea of, taking a product and selling it to somebody. Like, music is ancient there. It's an older place.
Yeah.
Music in North America, in terms of, popular music in North America, is something that, sort of came to be at sort of a simultaneous point in history as, industrial capitalism.
Yeah.
Or something. I think that it's like, there was kind of this simultaneous sort of, people want to see music and there's money in it, so we'll package it and we'll sell it to somebody. So there's, the attitude is that touring is for some kind of financial purpose. Maybe not for everybody, but it's kind of like the popular opinion in North America is that it's for the purpose of someone making a buck.
Yeah.
It's more of an entertainment, it's seen as more of an entertainment kind of thing, whereas in Europe there's kind of this deeper cultural value that people place on on someone that's playing music. I mean, you're talking about, a history of nomadic traveling musicians, and when you're touring over there, you actually fit into this kind of,
the minstrel tradition.
Genealogy. Yeah, and that was a real thing, that was a real way of life, and that never really existed here because the space between cities was too big, or it's just a different kind of, it serves a different role.
Yeah.
on the street. The flood will rise up when we meet. Run across the frozen river to the other side of town. There's no one with any words to speak around. Cover up your crosses, mirror around your neck. In the water we'll find a chosen sun to reflect. Raise young glasses, let the winter never end. Young Canadians. Where I come from, it's always bright out in the east. Concrete and steel, still velocity. Ride across the rails and drive your country home. In all this space, you know you're not alone. Young glasses, let the winter never end. Pour one for the young Canadians. Raise young glasses, let the winter never end. Pour one for the young
As interesting as listening to this PSA is, there's nothing quite like watching it. Watching what, you ask? The annual showcase of films that accompany it as part of the POV, or Persistence of Vision, Film Festival. This showcase of short films written, directed, shot, edited, and produced by students in the film production program at UBC happens only once a year. On April 27th and 28th, join the POV Festival at the Empire Granville 7 Cinemas in the heart of downtown Vancouver as these magnificent films are debuted. For tickets and information, visit povfilmfestival.com.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
April and Discorder is here. Daffodils are blooming, cherry blossoms blossoming, and Discorder smells spring fresh off the presses. Check inside for monthly faves, The Overeducated Grumbler, on the topic of Dan Levy, getting textually active with rock stars, and news on the venues you know and love. Read up on the lovelies of Ruffled Feathers, Indigo Kids, and Dirty Spells, and figure out where to pick up hard copies of their stuff at your favorite local record store on Record Store Day. Reviews, calendars, charts, interviews, art projects, photos, write-ups, and teardowns, all that and more in your free April issue of Discorder. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years. Scratch Records, CITR, and Discorder Magazine are proud to present the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party. With special guests Shearing Pinks and the Aaron Reed Band, it promises to be a night full of beer, booze, bands, and buds. For one night only, the Landmark 12-inch LP special release will be only $5. But last, and definitely not least, you won't want to miss the Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP Release Party, Saturday, May 12th at the Interurban Gallery.